Yes, Kevin, do you have some brownfields in your area?
Yeah, we have a few in the downtown area and plus some Lust and US sites.
Great. It's a great program. We have probably over 100 different programs that have started, and some come online and develop and grow into larger programs. Some will run through the 2-year program and are not sustainable. Some become less sustainable and then get new funding. We've got some real stars, the New Jersey Youth Corps. I'm not sure if people will be on today, but for example, have gotten millions of dollars of state money. They've used the EPA money as seed to get started, and then we're able to jump into all sorts of training programs.
Great.
Hi, who just joined us?
This is Chris Chavez and Rick Krause from the University of New Mexico.
Oh, great.
Gallup.
Great. Okay, we've got a couple of Kevins on the line too, so
Okay,
that's great.
has Pete signed in?
Pete is meeting with somebody from the EPA concerning brownfields, and so he asked me to step in and take notes for him. So
Okay.
I'm the grant writer for this program, Chris.
All right, great.
Great. Chris, what's your email?
My email is ckchavez, chavez, at hotmail.com.
Okay. I'm asking that because we usually have post-session notes, and a lot of times we'll have some interaction between people, and they may have some questions, and we usually use email. Did someone else join that wants to be on the list, the email list?
My name is Rick Krause,
And that is.
My email is all lowercase RTK ROUTH.
Hi, it's Clarice from Bucks County Community College Green Jobs Academy.
Hi, Clarice. How are you today?
Good, how are you?
Good, thanks for joining us.
No problem.
We'll be having people coming on, but we're just getting an email of a gentleman. It's RJKROUTH.
Robert Thomas,
RT.
RTKROUTH at unm.edu.
Okay, good. Well, we'll make sure that you're on our list. And,
Thanks.
welcome, Clarice. Basically,
Hey.
for the gentleman from New Mexico, what we do is the first few minutes that we have a lot of people join, and GLOW will break into the conversation and have them introduce themselves so we know who's on the line. And the whole idea is basically have these informal discussions every 2 weeks, and then we have post-session notes, and then people can interchange ideas through emails. And this week we pretty much go through in the series everything from the very beginning of planning a program all the way through placement tracking and program sustainability. And right now we've gone through the planning of a brownfields and how you go about doing that, funding sources, talked about that, working within communities, doing your scope and definition of your program, developing what kind of program you're going to have, program startup, what kind of certifications you're going to be offering. These are all, and you all in New Mexico are going to be having to go through this thought process of what kind of program do you want to start and what kind of certifications you're going to offer. And there are some resources we can tell you about that you may want to go to that will go over some of these things. Today we're going to talk about student recruitment and assessment, which is really a key component of the whole program, because your program, as we've talked in previous sessions, is going to be no better than the students that come out of the program. And in those earlier sessions, we spent a lot of time trying to determine how do we develop this, what's the scope and definition of our program, what kind of graduates do we want to have? Are we going to have weatherization people? Are we going to have environmental testing people? Are we going to be going for the more academic types who might be doing data analysis and doing more of a program that would be an articulation type program? Often community colleges will start programs that they'll want to articulate into their credit program, so they'll offer a more academic program in terms of heavier in the math and science. Our programs that tend to be more vocational and just want to get people jobs in the community may not focus so much on articulation, but may be more interested in giving them a set of skills and knowledges and certifications that will get them off the streets and into jobs. And those programs are a little different. So when you consider all of these things, you may see how it impacts the recruitment of who you're going to be recruiting and what audiences you're going to be going after. And have you all in New Mexico thought about what types of people you're going to be going after in your program?
Actually, what we have here at Gallup is we have a construction technology program,
mm-hmm.
and we're just starting to offer our green building certificate.
Good.
We just got approved through Albuquerque campus.
Good.
And so we're more on a vocational track than
mm-hmm.
an academic track.
Mm-hmm. And what about in Bucks County? You're all also doing weatherization, aren't you, up there?
That's correct. We are.
And are you involved in construction at all, doing dual track?
We are. We actually, the current program that we have is with electrician pre-apprenticeship program specializing in PV solar for our veterans. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be doing hands-on work because the goal is that we can get them partnered up with some companies as part of their internship that would make room for them in the corporate world, of course, when we're done. And then the weatherization is actually something we're just starting out with. We've got a consortium put together, a number of ideas. We just received a grant to put it all together, and that should start to come into fruition in another 2 or 3 months as far as putting courses out there and getting students into the classroom.
Clarice, did you note or did you see the announcement that Department of Labor has for veterans? There was a funding announcement made just this last week. If you didn't get it, we could tell you about it. It was specifically geared towards veterans, I believe.
Okay.
Have you heard anything about that?
To be honest with you, I haven't. I'm sure it's in one of my many emails that I have.
it was a fairly large program that the Veterans Administration was doing with Department of Labor, and I think it was about $10 million.
Oh wow!
They were going to do specifically geared at what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much veterans and disabled veterans. And getting
that might be actually where some of our funding came from, because it did come right directly from our state representative.
Oh, okay.
For specifically for veterans. Like, the course
oh.
is not open to anyone else, and it's completely
oh.
funded.
Oh, okay. Then
that, so
might,
that may be where it came from.
That may very well be. That's when we start talking about target groups. You just hit it right on the head. That's exactly what you need to do. You geared toward a specific target group, and you're recruiting to that group. And the question is, of course, how do you recruit to that group? And we've had some grantees who are targeting ex-offenders. We've had some grantees who have targeted released ex-offenders, the women ex-offenders. So they've had programs geared towards women and ex-offending women who are getting out, in reentry programs. And those programs often are getting money from other organizations, reentry money from Department of Justice, for example, and they're leveraging it with the EPA money in the brownfields. So they're using Department of Justice money, maybe some labor money, some state money, and some brownfields money, and they're putting that all together in one pot, and they're gearing to that program. Others are opening up to everyone. As I earlier mentioned, some are going for students who will articulate into the community college. So that is really key in determining that market of who you're going to go after. And mm-hmm. When you start talking about awareness, now how are you going to market to your veterans? Have you thought that through yet?
They've actually already started their class. They're in week two. And what we did is we did email blasts. We joined up with the Veterans Green Jobs out in Colorado so they could put it on their website. We also contacted all of our local representatives, political representatives to help us out, and hit CareerLink, which is an unemployment facility, that they basically sent out another email blast. So we've been getting veterans from across the country that were interested in joining our program, and then they had to go through an application process in order to even make it into the course. So it wasn't something that was open to every single veteran because there were restrictions listed in the grants that were received. Like, they couldn't be blind, of course, and they couldn't not have any of their appendages. They must have all their appendages in order to do the electrician work. But they could still, even if they were limited in mobility, they still would need to be able to lift 50 pounds and so on and so forth. But we ended up with a pool initially of 42 applicants, and we accepted 13.
Wow.
So there was a number of them, and, you know, it could have been just simply some of their tests. They had to take some writing tests that were required and so forth, and there was a number of different things, different factors as to why some of the people didn't make it into the program. But the positive thing is we are offering the program again in January because we received additional monies to do that again in January for another 12 weeks.
Wonderful. Now, you recruited nationally, did you say?
Yes.
Wow. Now,
yes.
Are you going to do this with distance learning then, or how are they going to move to the...
We've also secured some funding depending on where individuals are. We've secured funding for some individuals to receive housing stipends for the 12 weeks that they would be taking the course. So, I mean, we don't want to step on, you know, anyone else's coursework or anything like that, but if the veterans are willing to come out and go through the application process, and if they get through the application process and they want to stay for the 12 weeks, then we've been working with, actually, believe it or not, private donors have been providing housing.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so that's been really, really great.
How many students can your program hold at one time?
The grant is funded for 16.
16, okay.
Yeah, just for this session. We're waiting. Of course, we've only started, this is only the second week, so we're hoping to expand it a little bit more. But the classroom sizes are 25.
Okay.
So that means we're not trying to make a huge dent into the veterans outreach that's there, but we would like to, you know, the goal was to try to employ veterans that were local, but we weren't turning away anyone that decided that they were interested and were able to pass the application process. And we had a gentleman literally drive out here 2 weeks ago from Iowa, and it's a 18-hour drive. He just got in his pickup truck, knowing that if he didn't pass the application process, that he'd have to turn around and go back.
Wow.
But thankfully, he did do well.
That's
we were quite happy. We were very nervous, but, yeah, he did very, very well. And a private donor has provided housing for that gentleman.
That's pretty cool. That's where I am, in Iowa.
Oh, yeah?
We're drowning in water here, so maybe that's why he's left. I wouldn't blame him a bit. It is.
Well, he's doing well.
Every day. The ground is so saturated, I'm surprised the trees aren't just floating away.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness.
What's exciting is the way you were able to get the message out, and you used CareerLink, you said.
Yes.
And they evidently they put out the notice over the internet, and did you have to do special negotiations with them or just?
No, because they're the ones that are giving the exams to our veterans. They've set up profiles for our veterans so that those that are unemployed. I mean, they identified areas for our veterans for additional resources that a lot of the veterans weren't aware of. Most of the veterans that applied had not even set up a profile with CareerLink, so therefore they weren't receiving information as far as opportunities that may work to their benefit. So it actually ended up being twofold. Even if they didn't make it into the program, at least they have a profile now with CareerLink that'll tell them when opportunities such as this are available to them and when they should start going through their own application process. But the part of the whole process was CareerLink set up the profile and then did their work keys assessments in math, reading, applied technology, and information recognition. And based on those scores, then CareerLink would forward that information to us, and we would then figure out which scores had done well enough to move forward.
Excellent.
So, they were a great help.
That would be a great – I wonder if that could be applied on a local level, where if you had just a local program and you were recruiting to just that general audience, if you could use CareerLink in a similar fashion.
I don't see why not. We specifically went into the veterans portion of CareerLink, so I don't see why you couldn't find an individual that could spear up, say, if you're looking for someone that has skill sets as an electrician that's not a veteran, that might be good.
And is that that's CareerLink.com, .gov, or is that the Department of Labor?
CareerLink, hold on 1 second, I got to check the guys.
I assume that's the Department of Labor CareerLink.
Yeah, I know if you were going online, it's CareerLink .org, but I'm not 100% sure.
That would be of great use to our grantees. While you're looking at that, one of the big problems that our potential grantees and grantees have is this whole area of how do we recruit. And if one of the issues that we'd had is they'd leave it up to the Department of Labor, they might, as a condition of partnering with them, the Labor Department would send them people. Well, the problem was that they did not have right of first refusal, and they would get people into the program that they were destined to fail, and they had some real issues because they couldn't get them through the program, or they get halfway through the program, drop out. And we, for a long time, insisted that you really, if you're developing a viable program, you've got to have first right of refusal, where you can do that final screening and interviewing to know that they can get through the program. Otherwise, you get sent to a lot of people, and all of a sudden you've got incredibly high attrition rate. And some people do their own recruiting flat out. I really like this idea of the CareerLink because they're doing all the testing. Now, a lot of programs will take the TABE, but I think the Department of Education removed TABE from their approved list of tests. A lot of Brownfield grantees still use the TAB test as an application process. There is, and I'll put in the post-session notes, there's a approved list of tests that the Department of Education has, but ACT has it. A lot of employers will also ask for a GED as a condition. And if you're not going through, and I'm sure CareerLink goes through all that in terms of their profile, but if you're not using the CareerLink and you're trying to do it yourself, often you have to, for example, work backwards and say, will the employers require a GED at least as a minimum level of employment? And that may be your starting point. There are some programs that if a person doesn't have a GED, they'll give them life skills training, and they may have some skills and remediation training that allow them to get their GED as a part of a more comprehensive training program, and that's another way. King County, I think, they use the CASAS test, which is a Comprehensive Adult Student Assessment System test. So a lot of people, which is usually a ninth grade education and a drug test. Now, are you all requiring drug testing before they come in or as part of your profile?
We did not, no. We did not make that a requirement. A lot of guys were actually quite surprised, excuse me, that we didn't. But we tried to, because we didn't want to turn anyone away as far as, I don't know, we're mainly focused on their drive and their commitment to wanting a job.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really the main goal, is to make sure that they were going to be employable. So they did have, I guess, a personality assessment that would, and part a number of questions on there were about drug use, but no, we didn't test for drugs.
Mm-hmm.
We did not. That web link, by the way, if anybody was interested, it's
yeah.
in Bucks County, but it's PA Career Link, LINK, .state.pa.us.
State. Okay. PA Career Link.
.state.pa.us.
Great. That'll get us where we.
Yeah, that's just the one in Bucks County, but there, you know, there's several across the state.
That's a great service, and it sounds like they're doing a lot of the legwork for you.
They really are, and they can speak. I'm not a veteran personally, and I can't speak the language for some of the things that they're talking about, so it's been a huge, huge help for them to be able to speak to the veterans and make sure that they got everything that they need as far as, like, their DD-214 and a number of other items that I just am not fluent in. They've been really great in being able to decipher that and put it in layman's terms for myself.
Have you all done in Gallup thought about your target group that you're going to be working with?
Actually, we're sort of right in the middle of the Navajo reservation here.
Hmm.
And so I think most of our consideration is probably to work with the Navajo tribe.
Right, right. In America.
But 80% of our students are Navajo here at the UNM Gallup.
Excellent. And as part of your grant application, we've had tribal grantees. GLOW, I believe we've had Navajo. Haven't we had Navajo grantees? We've had several different tribes as grantees.
I can't remember if it was that or if it was at the outreach workshops that we've done.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been that, too.
But that'd be a great target audience, a target participation group. And in terms of marketing to that group, I'm sure that you're doing that with the community college and with the university in terms of having access to that group and how you may want to test them and assess them to go through your program. I think we've had some Native American programs that have been really successful, and then some have had some challenges in working with the tribes, but it sounds like being in the middle of it, you're pretty much used to working with Native American groups. And
yep, definitely.
That's great, and it's all about trust with the tribes. I think that the people that we've worked with, they feel that once you start a program and have shown them that you have their best interest at heart, they really support it in a big way works well. One of the things before this quick session is going to be over in just a few minutes, I wanted to have GLOW talk about the annual conference that we have. GLOW, do you want to speak a little bit about the annual grantee conference, which we're allowing people who are part of the PLC, if they want to attend this conference? And I'll turn it over to GLOW to let her talk a little bit about that.
Every year we have a grantee meeting, we call it, where all of the EPA-funded job training grantees, whether they're currently working on EPA money or not, we gather them all together along with all the EPA regions, staff from EPA headquarters, and we have a big meeting to discuss issues that the grantees want to talk about. on their registration forms, they actually send me the topics, three topics of their choice. And we compile small group sessions and large group sessions based totally and completely on what the grantees want to talk about. We do this once a year. This year's meeting is going to be August 9th and 10th in Alexandria, Virginia, where we've had it for the last several years. It's easy access for EPA headquarters to be able to attend. And we, like Mike said, we are inviting active PLC members to come and join us if they like. And the opportunities that they would have then would be to network and learn from the grantees who have programs that are running now, and to meet the EPA representatives from the regions and from headquarters. It's just a big networking meeting. We've been doing this now since 1998. Every year gets better. Every year gets bigger. And people walk away with their heads spinning with the amount of knowledge that they've learned on how to sustain, different ideas for recruitment, different ideas for reporting. We also are going to have the Acres people there, so that the grantees now have to report on an EPA system called Acres, and there's going to be a training session on that. We're trying to get together a panel of contractors to come in and talk about job placement. So far, I've only had one contractor reply that they'd be willing to be on this panel, but we're going to fill the holes with EPA people. It would be a great opportunity. If you at all can join us, just let us know.
What this entails, and it's a great meeting. It's at the Hilton in Alexandria, and your expenses are picked up except for your transportation to the Hilton in Alexandria, Virginia. If you could get there, basically the agreement we have with EPA is they pick up the hotel, and we have snacks in the morning. We have a lunch that's a working lunch. Dinner is on your own. We come in on one evening. You travel during one day. We have an evening meeting from about 6 to 8 where we introduce ourselves. And then the next day is a power day. We work from 8 till 6, and we go into these breakout sessions. What's good about, and it's a real opportunity if you're thinking of writing a grant, everyone there is a grantee. They've all had grants. Some have had grants for 10 years. Some are just, this is their first year. And we break out into four groups, and we have the ability every 40 minutes or an hour and a half to switch groups on various topics, kind of the topics we're talking about in the PLC. We sit down in the room, and it's a working session. That evening, you stay there that evening, and then leave the next morning or whenever you've arranged your transportation back. But EPA will pick up the cost of the hotel for the two nights, and we'll send you information about signing up for this. If you can find funds to get the airfare out there and pick up the couple of dinners that you would need to, we have I think it's extremely well worth the experience, because mostly just the networking. The assistant administrator is going to be there. One of the best things that we have is the attorney for EPA comes and spends about an hour and a half talking about EPA grants, what's allowable, what's not, what to stay away from, what to caution on, and it's all open discussion. So anyone can talk about anything they want that brings them up. And so for a grantee that's thinking of applying, it's a rare case that they're not allowed to come. It's usually just for grantees, but we've written into this grant that participants in the PLC, because they're interested in this program, are invited. So we'll send a note out to you. Glow, what's your time schedule on commitments for people that want to join?
The hotel deadline is July 14th, and so we've kind of based our deadline on that. By that, I mean that we have received a group rate from the Hilton that's quite a bit cheaper than what their regular rate is. But people have to make their hotel reservations by July 14th. That doesn't mean that you can't attend if you can't get permission before then. You can still probably get into the hotel, but you would be having to pay the regular rate. And if that happens, then the attendee is responsible for the difference between our group rate and the Hilton's regular rate, which may be, you know, up to like $100 a night. I don't even know what their regular rate is. But July 14th is the deadline, unless we can talk the hotel into extending it even further.
Yeah. What we'll do is, with the post-session notes or as an attachment, another mailing, we'll send out how to get in touch with GLOW to sign up for the meeting, and it'll give you all the particulars. If you can get a commitment for someone to pick up your travel, it would be well worth it to do that. Time-wise, it's also interesting that we just got a note 2 days ago from EPA that they've delayed their request for proposal, which was originally going to be in July for the new Brownfields job training grant. They postponed it to October. It may come a little sooner, but it sounds, doesn't it, as it's going to be October for the...
I don't think it would be any sooner. October is what they told me, with a deadline of sometime in January. And going by that, if that varies at all, I would think it would be later.
Right. So, but that's an interesting opportunity, because if this meeting, if you were able to attend this meeting in August and took really good notes, you would have every component that you need and be able to talk to the people who are actually all the regional reps are going to be there, the people who will be actually reviewing the grant proposals will be there at your disposal to get your talking points ready and get your proposals ready. And I believe the guidelines are going to be a little different this year. They're going to be expanded. And they may talk about that also at this meeting. So it would be a great opportunity for any of you who want to attend. So, well, we promise with these, we're going to keep these, we keep these discussions short, because people come and go and they have busy schedules during the day. So we're going to we'll write up some post-session notes and send them out to you, and we'll also expand a little bit about the recruiting process and the testing process and the assessment process of your students. Before we go, does anyone want to add anything or have any questions about it, about anything? Okay. Okay. Well, great. Okay, well, we'll talk to you all soon. And
all right.
Thank
you.
We'll be getting you some post-session notes out, and you might look around and see if you might be interested in attending the grantee meeting in August.
Okay, thank you.
Talk to you all later. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.